The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hey, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name is Dan Latto, and this is the Property Show. So welcome, everybody. How are you doing? I hope you're well today. And in today's session, what I wanted to talk about specifically was how to actually get started in property investing, because it's one of the questions I get asked quite a lot. We have people at all sorts of different levels, people who are experts in multiple areas in property, and they come to me for coaching because they want to start to improve upon what they're actually already doing. And that's fine, of course, because some of the things that they're doing, they don't realise what they're doing in terms of it's stopping them from actually moving forward. And so they come to me because they want coaching on how to improve and become even more successful. It's like, I don't know, Michael Jordan has a basketball coach, right? Even though he's the best player on the planet, he can still do better and he can still improve. And it's the same for investors as well. And we've got quite a few clients who you've probably heard of who are on the property circuit anyway. So that's one side. And then the other side, of course, let me just move over here. So the other side, of course, is the people who are just beginning and they've got really no idea on what it is they should be doing. They've got no idea at all. And they need a little bit of help. They need some advice. They need some guidance. It could be that they're ready for coaching, but they're not quite sure yet as well. But specifically, they want to know how to get started in property. And so that's part of the reason why we do these podcasts, is to help people make the decisions so that they can then move forward. So if you're listening to this, once again, thank you. I really appreciate it. If you're watching it on YouTube or on our website or on Facebook, thank you again. I really appreciate it. Any comments, obviously, then please put them in the box available. If there is a box, if you're listening on a podcast, then please go and like for sure. Give it 5 stars. Write a little review. I'd really, really appreciate that. Drop me an email as well. Come and say hello. I'd love to hear from you. Tell me who you are, what you want, how I can help, that sort of thing. So please like and share. So the first question you've got to be asking yourself is, if you're going to start investing in properties, it always comes down to this, doesn't it? The Spanish word for it is dinero, as in Robert De Niro, I suppose. But we call it money, wonga, moolah, whatever words are they. So there's lots of different words for it. But how much money have you got ready to get you started investing? So if you've only got a little bit, then yes, you can start, but there's different things that you need to be doing. If you've got a lot of money, and when we say a lot, you know, 50 to 150 to 500,000, there's a whole bunch of things that we can do. Some of them will make you never have to work again in your life, by the way. It depends on how much money you need each month. So how much money do you actually need to get started? Well, it depends on what sort of property. I mean, we're picking stuff up for between 40 and 50,000. So, you know, we might get a 50 grand property at 20% off, which is 40 grand. It might need a grand or two's worth of work doing to it. And then it's worth sort of, I don't know, 50 to 55 because we've actually uplifted the value. But then we're also getting access to stuff that's 200,000, 300,000. Just recently we had a deal that was, I think it was 1.3 million and available for just under £1 million. So that's like a 30% below market value on £1 million property. That's phenomenal. That's £300,000 in cash in your pocket. You buy it, you add value to it, and then you sell it. There's an awful lot of opportunity to make an awful lot of money. So depending where you are in terms of how much you've got to invest. Now, if you've not got 50 grand or 100,000 or £1 million or whatever that figure is, and you've only got a couple of thousand, then that could well be enough to get you started. You could certainly be a property sourcer on that. And that property, you know, if you're selling property deals at, I don't know, let's call it 3 grand because it's easy maths, £3,000 a deal, and you're doing 2 deals a month, then in 5 months' time, you've got a £30,000 deposit. That'll get you into your first deal. It could even be that you can buy your first house for 30 grand, possibly. I mean, it's hard work, but you can do them. They do exist. We see stuff all the time. All the time. All sorts of different things that you can buy, that you can add value to, that you can split up and convert into flats, and all sorts of different things. Property is so forgiving because it's got so many different ways of making money in it. It's awesome. That's why we're in property. We love it. We're never sure what's going to happen the next day, what might pop up, what the opportunities are. I know it was in one of the Rich Dad Poor Dad books written by Dolph de Roos, who's a friend of mine on Facebook. So that's always nice. Welcome, Dolph, if you're watching this. So he said the deal of a century comes around about once a week. And it's totally true. We get all sorts of stuff. But you've got to be in it to win it. So you've got to be meeting with people that are going to be providing you with these type of deals. And if you don't know where to get these deals, then pick up the phone, let's have a chat, and we can help you. So that's it covered, really, in terms of how much have you got to invest. There is no one specific answer because we're all different. We all have different amounts. But if you've got a huge amount of money, then that's great and we can really get you great returns. You're talking 10% a year return on investment on that property. Plus, obviously, the capital value of the property is going to increase over a long period of time and so on. And that's really good. But if you haven't got a huge amount, then that's fine. Lease options and rent-to-rent deals are the other ones that you can do. Or you could just be a property sourcer, and property sourcing works really well as well. So once we know how much money you've got to spend, what type of investments do you want? Like, do you want to be flipping properties? Do you want just to buy and hold? What's your strategy going to be? Do you want stuff where you're just crowdfunding into a property that's 300,000 that another 20 people have put £15,000 in each and somebody else totally manages it? So what type of property investment is it that you're looking for? And this is what's really important. You've got to compare the property that you're looking at with another type of property that you could invest in. We call this opportunity cost. If you've got £50,000, you can only invest that in this one or this one. And if you invest it in this one, you can't invest it in that one. So which one are you going to choose? And that's where understanding the numbers and being able to work out what those numbers actually are and what they should be. How do you compare a £124,000 property that's making £650 and a £268,000 property that's making £1,328 a month? I mean, how do you compare those two, right? I'll just pluck those figures out there. How do you know how to do that? And if you don't know, then you need to find out. And it's not just about yield, it's about return on investment. And what are you taking into account to do those calculations? Because loads of people miss out all sorts of different things to make the numbers work. But truly, the numbers aren't working, so it's a silly way of investing. So you've got to get some help on that if you don't know what you're doing. So what type of investments? That's the next question. The third thing that you need to be thinking about is, do you want to build up a monthly cash flow or do you want to build up lump sums? So, you know, I get a lot of people and say, I want to be a property millionaire. And I say, well, what does that mean exactly? And I've asked this at networking events, people on stage, and I've had people say, well, a property millionaire is someone who owns £1 million of property. And that's like, is it really? Surely the millionaire part is how much is the property worth minus how much you owe on a mortgage. So if a mortgage, if the property is £1 million and over 10 properties, let's say, and your mortgage is 500,000, then you've got £500,000. That's your net worth. That's effectively one minus the other. Plus, if you've got £100,000 worth of credit card debts, then technically your net worth is only £400,000, right? Only. That's still a lot of money, right? Given that most people, more than half the people in the UK, have zero net worth or less. They owe more than they are worth. Their assets are worth. It's crazy, right? It's really scary. That's just the way it goes. But you've got to work out, is it a cash flow or lump sum? So, and I say this all the time. I mean, I've had Porsche 911s, Ferraris, I've had penthouse flats, I've spent £1,000 on a night out. I mean, it was a great night out, don't get me wrong. But, you know, it was 15 years ago, I don't remember it. I could have invested that money and got long-term growth on that, paid down credit card debt and that sort of thing, accelerated my results. And whilst, you know, I don't object to people going out and having a good time, if you're going out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which is what I was doing, blowing it all, that's crazy. I could have had another extra couple of houses that would be passed on to my children and my children's children and so on. Or even a couple of extra holiday homes or whatever, right? So every penny counts. But you don't need £1 million in your bank to live a millionaire lifestyle. You really don't. So if you've got £10,000 a month, you could live like a king for that. You know, it doesn't matter where you are. Okay, like New York, London, you might struggle a little bit because the properties are so expensive, you know, if you're going to rent somewhere. But why, you know, if you're generating £10,000 a month, why would you live in London anyway? Why would you not live in Singapore, Bangkok, New York, Las Vegas, Leeds, stick that one in there, Spain, Italy, Portugal, Africa, Ibiza, the Caribbean? Well, you could live anywhere you want all around the world if that money's coming in each and every month and that's clear cash that you've got to spend on whatever it is you want to spend on. That's not £1 million in your bank. That's you earning £10,000 a month. And when you get to the end of the month, the money recycles itself and you get another £10,000. Of course, you've got to make sure that you're then keeping all your properties rented out. You're keeping up to maintenance because that's going to start costing money as well. And if the longer you leave maintenance, the more it costs in the long term anyway. Plus, your rents won't increase as much because the properties aren't in such good value and so on. But depending on how much money you're actually starting with, so if you've got £100,000 to start with, for example, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to put that entire 100 grand into a, I don't know, let's say a 70 grand property that you're buying below market value? It's worth 100, but you're buying it for 70. And then you've got some money left over to do the property up, maybe £5,000 to £10,000, and add value to that property and then sell it for 110 and 120. So that's one way that you could do it. Again, it depends on how much money you get to start with. Depends on the type of investment. It depends on whether you want that lump sum. Bear in mind that you put all that money into a property. It takes you a little bit of time to buy the property. It takes a little bit of time to do the property up, get planning permission and all that exciting stuff. And then once you've finished it and you've furnished it and it all looks great, you've then got to sell it. And then the sale falls through and then you've got to sell it again. Bear in mind that one out of three sales fall through. Depends where you are in the cycle, of course, because it's not always exactly one out of three. Depends, you know. So whilst you're doing that, let's say 6 months, you're not generating any cash, none at all. Whereas you could take that 100 grand, you could buy, let's say, put deposits in of £10,000 on a 50 grand house, which will generate £400 a month, minus your mortgage at 200 quid. So you're going to generate £200 a month off that. Well, how many of them can you buy if you've got 100 grand? We could buy 10. That'd give you £2,000 a month. How much money do you need to live on each month? Well, if that's 2 grand a month, theoretically, and I'm using speech marks on purpose, theoretically, you can retire. You know, retire. I wouldn't suggest that you do that, because if your boiler goes, if four tenants decide not to pay the rent, all this extra stuff that can happen and does happen in properties. I had a cannabis farm in one of mine, and frankly, it was no big deal. I mean, the place was a mess, but it's fine. We phoned the police up. The police came round. They said all the old gear was there. The front room was full of cannabis plants, all dead and dead cannabis plants. They didn't even care. They were just not fussed, you know. They didn't want to know about the tenant. They just said, just take it to the tip. Crazy, right? Anyway, but it happens, right? This is part and parcel of being a landlord. Now, if that sort of thing, by the way, is going to stop you being a landlord, then probably it's not the right thing for you. Because, you know, 17 years I've been doing this for at the time of recording. That's my first cannabis farm. And, you know, I've gone through the whole emotions of trying to evict people and not being able to do it and not knowing what I was doing right at the start of getting into the portfolio. But we didn't have coaches and mentors, and we had no clue. The website was, you know, the internet itself was only sort of in its beginning 17 years ago. God, I sound like an old man. So, I mean, God, we didn't even have shoes when I was a kid. So we did have shoes. So it depends on what is it that you want to do with that money. Do you want lump sum? Do you want regular cash flow? You could split that 100 grand, you know, put 50 grand into a flip, put 50 grand into starting to invest and starting to generate some monthly cash flow. You know, 50 grand will still pay, get you £200 a month plus of income from each property. Times that by five properties, that's £1,000 a month, maybe 250, getting 1250 a month. That will help you. It might just help stabilise your income. You don't have to work as much in your business. You can then go part-time in your business or your job, start becoming a property sourcer, start selling some deals. There's all sorts of different things and different ways in which you could do this. And you're just limited by a couple of things, actually. You're limited by your imagination, obviously. Imagination is more important than knowledge. I think it was Einstein that said. So you're limited by your imagination. But also, number two is that you're limited by your confidence in your own abilities. And of course, your confidence in your own abilities is probably zero, because you've never flipped a property. You've never bought one for cash flow. And if you've never done any of those things, then you need to get yourself a mentor, because we have. We've done lots of flips. We've bought at auction and sold at another auction before we'd even paid the full amount. We've done all sorts of crazy stuff. We bought properties on a deposit using a credit card. We got a £12,000 credit card from Virgin on interest free. So we borrowed the 12 grand. We wrote a check when we used to get checks for credit cards, sort of 7 to 10 years ago. We wrote a check. That went into my bank. That became the deposit for a property that we then bought. We then did the property up and then we sold it all within 6 months. We made a money on that deal. We then paid off the credit card and we had some profit left at the end. There's loads of different ways that you can do it, right? But if you've never done it, then you don't know what you're doing. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. And why would you make those mistakes? Why would you not just hire someone who's already done all that stuff that can guide you through the pitfalls that is property? Property is really forgiving in that if you make some mistakes now, so if you buy a house and then property prices go down by 10%, you know, it's no big deal, really. It's 150 grand, it's 15 grand down, but it's no big deal because you wait 10 years or 5 years, prices go back up eventually, okay? So professional gamblers, they know when to take the money off the table. It's the same in property. Watching what's going on and being able to buy at the right time and sell at the right time is part of it, but it's not the whole sort of thing that you need to be looking for. So whether you're looking at monthly cash flow or lump sum, that's what you've got to be thinking about. And if you've been given a lump sum, this is where you need that conversation. That's why we do strategy sessions, because we can talk people through what is it that you actually want? What do you want to achieve with property? And that really then leads me on to number four. We've got seven of these that I'm going to go through. So number four is, do you want to be hands-on or do you want to be hands-off? So like we're getting deals up in the northeast of England, for example, between 50 and 60, we'll say. Sometimes they're even £80,000 and the rent's higher as well. But between, I don't know, 50 and 80, let's just say that. So we're getting these deals, and some of these deals, you know, it needs a new kitchen, new bathroom, needs new carpets, wallpapering, painting, whatever, right? And so we've got people in London going, well, that would be nice. I'm buying it below market value. We're getting really good return on investment. You know, £400 on a 50, 60 grand house is great. I'd love those. But I don't want to go up to the northeast and start doing property refurbs. I live in London. And it's like, no, you don't have to do that. It's all completely hands off. But you've got to make the choice. Do you want to be hands off or hands on? And it's completely up to you, because there's both types of deals out there. Now, if you want to be hands-on, obviously, you need the property to be within 15 to 30 minutes, because if you're going to get up and go to the property every day or once every couple of days to do work on it, then it's got to be, you know, within 15 to half an hour away from you. So if you want to be hands-on, then you can be hands-on. And again, do you want to be the manager overseeing the people that are working in the property, the painter, the decorator, the plumber, the plasterer and so on, the tiler, the bathroom fitter, the kitchen fitter? Or do you want to be the plumber, the plasterer, the painter, the carpenter, the bathroom and kitchen fitter? And so there's some things that you can do and some things that you can't do. So when I first started flipping properties, which is going back like 12 years ago, so I started buying buy-to-let. No, it's probably longer, actually, probably about 13, 14 years ago. And then we started flipping a lot of properties. And so when I first started, I started doing everything. I was stripping wallpaper, knocking tiles off. I was painting windowsills. And I remember just having this moment of painting this windowsill. And I painted this bloody windowsill like three times. And I just looked at it and I went, I'm so crap at this. And I was terrible at painting ceilings. Oh, painting ceilings. Oh, it's just, I'm crap at it as well. So it was at that point, it's like, who can we get in to just paint the bloody ceiling? Save me some time. My job was better. My role was better going out and finding better deals where I can negotiate 15 grand off than trying to save a couple of hundred quid painting the bloody ceiling myself. So you've got to work out, what is it that you want? Are you going to be hands off or are you going to be hands on? And it depends on your situation. It depends on your circumstances. And there's all sorts of different ways in which you need to look at that. So are you going to be hands-off? You're going to be hands-on. But you just got to work out what that is. And it depends on all the other things. How much to invest? What sort of investments? Do you want monthly cash flow or lump sum? And that's what makes a big difference. So number five then is level of risk. How much risk do you really want to take in property? Because there's different levels of risk depending on what you want to do. So like on your first deal, you could buy an old disused building and convert that into separate flats. That's a much bigger risk if you've never done it before. And I would suggest if you're brand new to property, you don't really do that. Why would you do that? I think that's a crazy thing to be doing. Why would you just do that? Why would you take all the risk and put all your money into one big deal that you've never done it before? I just think that's absolutely crazy. So your level of risk. Now, this is the thing. When we take on a new client, usually what we try and do is we get them their first deal as quick as we can. Because when you get them their first deal, we get them through the conveyancing, which is how to buy a property. We get them through that process. And now they've got a property in the back pocket. It's generating income. It's got a tenant in there. And now they're a property investor, right? That old, they're a property investor. And that's awesome. And so their confidence increases. And then it's little victories. And we use this in coaching all the time. If you've got no confidence, then there's two ways of, confidence means two different things. One is knowledge and two is experience. If you think about driving a car, if you're driving a car and you now know how to drive a car, then great, you've got knowledge. But if you haven't got the experience, then you're still going to be unconfident until you get the experience. It's like anything, swimming, riding a bike, dating, buying properties, building a business, marketing, Facebook Live, doing videos, doing podcasts. You might know how to do them, but if you haven't got the experience. And so we build up on that experience because that's exactly what we want to build up on. And when you start increasing your experience, then your level of risk changes. Because now, no longer are you a high risk, because you've actually started to get some experience. And it's that experience that you need. And we always want people to get some level of experience. And this is why the people that you hang out with, go out and hang out with people who are doing the conveyancing. And go and have coffee with them and get them to walk you around the actual property while they're refurbing it. And if you don't know anybody that's doing this, go to a networking event. But some networking events, and you can stand up at the start and you can go, I'm looking for someone who's got a refurb. I'd like to come in and have a look just because I'm nosy. I'll buy you coffee and I'll buy you lunch or whatever bribery you need to take to just get you into that position of being able to see it. And you can start building experience up from other people's experience, from other people's conversations and so on. So that's level of risk. We always advise starting small, and you'd never really want to be in a position, and I've heard this, you know, if your own house is the biggest investment that you've ever got, that you've ever made, right? Like here in Spain, we rent this. We haven't bought here. I've got no idea how it works. I've got no interest in buying either. We might move next year. Who the heck knows, right? It's a new country, new culture, new values. We've got no idea. And we're saying that we've been here 3 years. So we've got more of an idea, but we're still not ready to buy. It might be another 5 or 10 years for all I know. Who knows, right? But in England, the house I live in, that house is not my biggest investment. I mean, fair enough, granted, I'm only there part-time because I fly back every 2 weeks to see the kids. But I'm not there all the time. I'm there sort of part-time, if you like. But it's not my biggest investment, not by a long way. I've got much bigger properties than that one that I currently live in the UK. So that then leads me on to to number six, I think it is. So the next one then is duration of investment. How long are you going to be investing for? How long can you tie up this money for? So let's just go back to the 100 grand and say you've got £100,000 and that you've got that available right now, but you need to give that up for some reason, whatever reason it is. Kids are going to university, whatever. The children need a deposit on a house. So you've got that money for 12 months. Okay. So maybe you could invest that money into a property flip or something similar to that that's going to generate cash for 12 months. Now, by the way, if you are doing that and you buy a house, you do it up and then it doesn't sell, you've now got this 100 grand tied up in an account. And so maybe that's not the best, method for you to invest. In which case you can move the money over into, fixed some returns. Like crowdfunding properties, but they just need 100 grand for 6 months for guarantee 10%. But you need to understand what are the guarantees that you're actually going to get that money back on time. Because it could be they might not get you the money back on time. It could be that they just disappear with that money as well. So this is like not only level of risk, but how long do you want the investment to be invested for? And with that in mind, what's the end game going to be? Is the end game going to be, to pass it on to the children, pass it on to the kids? In which case, how are you going to wrap that property? Are you going to buy it through a company formation? And then you just make the children directors of the company? Obviously, you need to take legal advice, financial advice on this. We're not financial planners or independent financial advisors in any shape or form. So this is not financial advice. But how are you going to wrap it? Are you going to put it into a trust? Pay the mortgage off and so your kids can't then sell that for their drug habit later on or for their university habit or to buy a Porsche. Whatever, right? How are you going to wrap that property up so that they then cannot sell it? So what's the end game? Or do you know what? Are you just going to sell everything at the end? In which case, what's your inheritance tax going to be like? Or are you just going to give all that money away to, a cat sanctuary, when you pop your clogs at the end of your life? What are you going to do? So this is where we have to start planning longer term. What are you going to do for your properties? So the plan for me is that all of mine are going to go into trusts or companies. Some of them already are. And, when that happens, the kids then can't touch them, but they can generate, or the properties will be generating income, which they will then receive. And we put rules into it. I mean, we on my will, for example, I think my will, the kids don't get anything till like they're 30, maybe something like that, 27, 28, not when they're 18, not when they're 21. Because when I was 18 and 21, I didn't have a clue. I'd spend it on bloody £1,000 nights out, like we said before, or whatever. It's crazy stuff, right? I want my kids to be a little bit more mature, and hopefully we're teaching them good values along the way. We teach, my kids are 8 and 11 now, or one's just about to turn 8, this month actually, 8 and 11. So if you ask the youngest one, what's an asset? She'll tell you, an asset is something that puts money in your pocket. Can you give me an example? She'll go, yeah, a house. And I go, what about a car? She goes, no, a car is a liability. What's a liability? It's something that takes money out of your pocket. Can you turn a car into an asset? Yes, how? Well, you could rent the car out, like being a taxi or renting your Porsche out, which is one of the businesses I used to have. She's eight, by the way, about to turn eight. So with a little bit of luck, we won't even need to give them anything because they'll start to invest anyway. And if you're not doing this with your own children, then I highly, highly recommend that you start doing this because it's really important. So the duration of investment, how long do you need the money invested for? Do you need it back for something? How long can you tie it up for? What sort of returns do you want after you die? And how are those returns going to be passed on to your children and so on? It could be that you don't even have kids. So what are you going to do then? Are you going to bury it all with you like the pharaohs did? By the way, pharaohs and pyramids, it's crazy. The pharaohs weren't putting pyramids when they died. That's just my opinion, but it's one of those crazy ones. The pyramids were a long time before. But are you going to die with all your possessions, with your Xbox One and your iPhone and so on? Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, I think we digress. So, the last one. Who to trust? Definitely something that you've got to start thinking about. Who are you going to trust when you take on your adventure into the property world? Property, so many sharks in property. I mean, we're lucky. We've been in it for 17 years. We've got a lot of very good reputation. We do podcasts. We get great results. We get a lot of goodwill in the marketplace and so on. And so we're very lucky. But there's other people that come into the property market, they buy three properties, and then suddenly they're running podcasts and they're experts and all of this sort of thing. We've been running property for 17 years. We've got a large property portfolio. But how are you going to know who to trust? Like, do you come and trust these big companies that promise this, that and the other? Give me 20 grand and I'll invest it for you. Like, we don't take any of your money, unless you sign up for coaching, by the way, in which case, you know, you're paying for a service that you get back in return. But we don't take deposits. We don't go, give me 20 grand of your money and I'll invest that for you. That's crazy. Why would you do that? It's like, here's a property. Do you want it? It's 20% below. These are the details. Let's go through due diligence together. And you go, well, is it good or is it bad? And I give you my advice. And then it's up to you to make the decision based on the advice I give you, the knowledge that we've given you to help you make your own advice, make your own decisions, I should say. And that's exactly how we do it. So all the decisions then are yours, but we don't take people's money. And I would be very cautious about that. I hear some stuff, some gurus that are very, very famous that have taken people's money, not given it back. There's been court hearings in which they lost and they still hadn't given the money back. And it was all over forums. And, oh, it's, you know, there's others. A guy went bankrupt for millions of pounds because he borrowed lots of other people's money. You've got to be careful. It's your money. Keep hold of your money. Give it to a solicitor to look after. If you don't trust yourself or the person that you're dealing with, you can put it in escrow. There's all sorts of things, right? But you've got to protect it. You've worked really hard for it, and this is your money. I protect my money like a bastard, I'll tell you, because it's my bloody money. Look at me, it's my money. It's my job to protect my money, and not only to protect my money, but to protect my well-being and my family's well-being and my children's well-being. And it's exactly your job to do that as well. I hear so many horror stories about, not so many actually, they're not like everywhere, but you hear them, people give 50 grand over and then that's it, it's gone. It's crazy. At least with solicitors, you know, they have a code of practice, there's the law society, they're insured, and if, you know, ask for a copy of their insurance, by the way, and what their registration number is for the law society. It's no harm, and any solicitor worth his salt. And if he needs a solicitor, drop me a line. I'll tell you the name of mine. I've used him for 12 years now, and he's awesome. He took me 6 solicitors to get to this guy, and I've used him ever since, and I recommend him to all my clients. But he's awesome. But, excuse me, who do you trust? Big companies. You hear about them all the time. And do you think big companies got your best interests at heart with that one-on-one relationship? Probably not. You're in a database full of all these other people that have got all these transactions. And I've done it. I've walked into the offices and on the walls, they've got deal after deal after deal with, all, you know, hundreds of names of all these properties going through. Have they got your one-on-one interest at heart? And I would say it's questionable. Whereas when you book in a property mentor such as me, or there's lots of others if you don't want to use me, but I would advise that you get one. And we're all at different price points as well. I'm not the cheapest property mentor. We admit that. We don't want to be the cheapest. Because why would I want to do that? I'm already successful and we don't need the money, but we want to go out and help people make the right decisions. And people buy quality, and this is, we're a quality mentor. And that's why we do it. So you've got to be really careful as to who you're going to use. and find out about them. Ask other people who are in the network. Have you heard of him? Have you listened to their podcast? What are they doing? And just make sure that you do your investigation well. Ask them. Ask them about their experiences and their clients and that sort of thing. So in terms of who to trust, there's so many different people out there that you can get started with, and just go out and do the rounds. I mean, I don't do networking events anymore. I live in Spain anyway, so I get asked to speak at a couple of events, but I only really speak at one event, and that's Manchester, and it's usually in January, on how to make this year your best year yet. But I don't get an opportunity to spend too much time in the UK, so I don't get to do those events. That's why we do videos and podcasts and that sort of thing as well. And our reputation is excellent. So there are seven things that you need to think about when you thinking about getting started in property. So just to reiterate, they are: how much have you got to invest? What type of investments do you actually want to invest in? Do you want monthly cash flow or lump sum? Do you want hands off or hands on? Do you want to get stuck in? What's your level of risk? What's that going to be? How long can you tie your money up for, or do you need it back for anything? And then who are you going to trust, and how do you actually find out more about those people by podcasts and videos and testimonials and people who are already doing business with them and that sort of thing. So look, I hope that's useful for you up to the 30-minute period. And I just really wanted to cover that, to talk to you about how to get started in property. And I really hope that you can take some of that on board. Obviously, if you can like and share the podcast and the videos, that's really cool. And come and like my Facebook page. Just do a search for me, Dan Latter. I'm on Facebook. Find the page, and you get to see me on some of the Facebook Live stuff that we do, which is all really exciting as well. All right, I hope that's useful for you. My name's Dan Latter, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.